Okay, we'll start in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Okay, if you were with us last week, you know that we started last week to talk about a very important subject, which is the subject of the Holy Spirit. And we said we will take this opportunity of these blessed days of Pentecost and these blessed days after we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost to talk about one of the least known topics in the church, which is unfortunate because it's one of the most important. And we said about last week how the Holy Spirit, even though He is one in essence with the Father and the Son, is definitely the most underrated, underappreciated, under-understood member of the Holy Trinity. You know how they say that you use like 10% of your brain capacity or something like that, right? They say something like that. Whatever your brain can do, whatever, use like 10%. If you had to estimate, or if I had to estimate, I'm sorry, the capacity of the Spirit that we tap into, I'd say it's even less than that. I'd say it's probably closer to 1% or 2%. And if you don't believe me, if you think that you get more of the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you do, but I'm saying in general, the average Christian taps into probably about 1% or 2% of that Spirit capacity. And if you don't believe me, very simply, go back to the early church. Those are people who are living the life, that Spirit-filled life, and you see that the book of Acts, okay, you know, it's the only book in the New Testament that doesn't end with the word amen, because it wasn't supposed to end, it's supposed to be a continuation. But if you look at our life today, and you look at their life back then, you see there's a discrepancy in the way we deal with each other, in the way that we deal with God, in the way that our life looks, and in so many different areas, and the number one thing that makes that difference is the amount of the Holy Spirit that we have tapped into. That's why we're studying this topic of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about it for the next couple weeks as well. I remember one time I got a present from someone. And I won't tell you what the present is because I'm not 100% sure who it was that gave it to me. The person could be here right now. People give me gifts all the time, okay? And I appreciate it, but I really am not much into gifts. And someone gave me a gift. And to be honest, I said thank you, but I didn't really know what it was. I didn't really know what it did. I had a pretty good idea, but it didn't seem that valuable. Whatever. Just put it in the closet with the rest of the other gifts that I've gotten a million of, and I wait for your wedding or your birthday, and I'll give it to someone else or something like that. I'll just re-gift it like everything else. So I just threw it in there. And then someone saw it in a weird turn of events, anyway, said, oh, I didn't know you have one of those. I said, what do you mean one of those? Yeah, I mean, what's the big deal about one of those? You want one? Take it if you want it. What's the big deal? He's like, no, that's a and it does this, and it does all this kinds of cool stuff. It was a technology thing, which I didn't know. Anyway, the point is, there was something that was really, really cool in that box. Once I discovered it, of course, then I didn't want to give it away. But I kind of put my foot in my mouth at that point in time. But I wish that for the previous 6 months or however long I had it in my closet, that I had taken advantage of what was inside. I think the Holy Spirit is the same way. I think when all is said and done, and we get up there, and we realize what our life could have been like with the Spirit, we're going to say, oh my goodness, I didn't realize what I had in the box that whole time. And it was just sitting in my closet. So that's why we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Recap real quick what we talked about last week. Most important thing that we said last week is that the Holy Spirit is a person. Very good. It's not an it, it's not a thing, okay? It's a person. It's one in essence with the Father and the Son. The Father is a person without flesh, of course, not a physical person, but a being, okay, like a person, not a thing. Son is a person, not a thing, and Spirit is a person, not a thing. So hopefully we can get rid of any references to it when we talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a person, okay? And last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit is our friendly paraclete, which means our helper. We said how it's our guarantee of the future reward that God's going to give to us because He gave to us His own Spirit. We talked about how He's like our coach and how He's like our guide. And we talked about how He's a giver and how He gives us gifts. I want to talk about another aspect of the Holy Spirit today, and it's going to take us to John chapter 16. We're going to flip around a little bit in the Bible, so bear with me here. We're going to look at John chapter 16 to kind of start off with. Gospel of St. John chapter 16. All the verses that we're going to kind of look at, I got up there on the screen, but it's always better if you got your Bible in your hand, okay? So that you can, like, get used to having your Bible. So, but in case anyone can't find it, it'd be up there for us. So John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 says, Christ is talking here about the Holy Spirit. And this is right after, remember last week we read how Christ said something which is very, very strange, about how it's to your advantage that I leave. Because when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come. Remember how we talked about last week, how can it be to anyone's advantage that Christ is leaving? Well, he kind of answers it tonight. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. This passage explains to me and explains to you why it is to your advantage that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leaves you. Why it is to your advantage that he left and went up to heaven. Because when the Spirit came, it says he will guide you into all truth. We're going to get a little bit abstract here. We'll get more practical by the end. But follow me here a little bit. Try to put the thinking caps on here. Christ says that when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. What is truth? If I had to come up with a definition of truth, it is, this is easy. See? Yeah, Jesus. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? So truth is very important we understand is not a thing, is a concept, is a philosophy, is not something that is taught in schools. Truth is a person, and the person's name is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So instead of saying he will guide you into all truth, he's saying truth, meaning Christ there. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He's the Spirit of God, and Christ, who is the Word of God, is the truth. Okay, so Spirit of Truth is the same as Spirit of God. So he says there, he will guide you into all truth. And we're talking about truth as the definition is our Lord Jesus Christ. So another way of saying it is Christ is saying, he will guide you into all of me. Okay? He will guide you into me. What are you? What is me? If Jesus says me, well, another word for Christ, okay, is the Word of God. Okay? So when we talk about the truth, it's the same as talking about Christ, it's the same as talking about the Word of God, the eternal Logos of the Father. So if you want to know what I'm getting at right here, if you want to know why it's to our advantage about the Holy Spirit coming, the Spirit explains the Word. Okay? That's what Christ is promising right there. He will guide you into the truth, into God, into the Word of God. Another way of saying it is, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot understand anything from the Word of God, this Word of God. You cannot have any knowledge or understanding of who God is and who His person is if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. Let me put it to you another way. If I were to take a survey and ask you right now, how important is it to read the Bible? Who thinks it's important to read the Bible? Every single one of you would raise their hands. If I took a survey in a church, this place is packed on Sunday, 500-600 people. How many people think it's important to read the Bible? Everyone raised their hands. And if I take another question right after that, how many read your Bible every single day? I don't think I'd see as many hands. Why? If everyone says it's important, why not everyone reads it? Well, I'd hear, it's hard. And it is hard. It's not easy to understand. I don't get anything out of it. And a lot of times you read it, you don't get anything out of it. The reason for that is very simple, is because you're not tapping into the guide, okay? You're trying to climb a mountain without a map, all right? You may be trying to navigate your way to a certain place without having any kind of direction. The Spirit, if you're not tapped into the Spirit, I agree with you. Don't read the Word because it's going to be very hard, it's going to be very confusing, you're going to hate it, you're going to hate your life, you're not going to get anything out of it. The Word of God needs the Spirit to explain it to us, and that's His job. Okay? That's why he was sent here, to teach us and to guide us in the truth. Why is it sometimes that you read this and it's boring and the next day you read it and it's lively. Why is it sometimes you go to a Bible study and you get nothing, and sometimes you go to the, or someone else goes to the same Bible study and gets something magnificent out of it? It's all about the Spirit, okay? It's not about just the letters on a piece of paper. It's about the Spirit. And if you're not tapped into that Spirit, good luck. Try your best. Get all the study guides you want. Get all the maps and references that you want. If there's no Spirit who's guiding you, you're going to really struggle with the Word of God. Let me show you another verse that I found. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Very, 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 very good verse, okay? First epistle of St. John chapter 2. Again, look for it in your Bible. It's better than reading on the screen, but for those of you who want the screen, there it is. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. This is an amazing verse, which is one of those verses, I'm sure I read it before, but somehow when we were serving on that mission trip in Africa, I found this verse in the Bible when I was just reading, and it, boom, it is the most amazing verse in the entire Bible. First of all, when he's talking about the anointing which you have received is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, okay? When we get baptized, after you're baptized, you receive the oil of chrismation, and that oil is the oil of the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit which you have received. That is the anointing which he's talking about right there, okay? What about that anointing? It abides in you, okay? So an oil that you receive, you may have washed off. You may have showered a million times, but the good thing is that the Holy Spirit is abiding inside of you, even if you already washed your face. Why? Why the anointing, why the Spirit is abiding in me? Why, according to this verse? What is the job description? What is he doing in there? Partying? Hanging out? Just chilling? What is he doing in there? One word. Says it right there. This is not hard. Okay, don't make this harder. What does it say he's doing? He's just do one thing. Begins with a T. Very good. Is to teach. Okay? The anointing, Holy Spirit, abides in me to do what? To teach me. And it says that you do not need anyone to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. And that anointing is going to teach you how to abide in him. Look, I'll give you an example here so you understand what I'm talking about right here. I'll show you how you can tell that you are not tapping into the maximum capacity of the Holy Spirit. You sit down, you are excited to read the Bible, and you go to everyone's least favorite book in the entire world is Leviticus. Okay? Because everyone has tried to read the Bible from start to finish, gets through Genesis, very excited. Exodus is good, Red Sea, but then it starts to get dry at the end, then you hit Leviticus, and then it's like, well, see you next year. Okay, so Leviticus is the world's hardest book, and very few people can actually get through that book. If you're reading Leviticus, and you start to read about the sacrifice, and then let's say you make Leviticus, you get to the numbers, and the so-and-so, and the son of so-and-so, and the number of so-and-so, and you get to a hard part, what do you do? What's the first thing you do? What would you do? A lot of people, if I get to a hard part, yep. There you go. That solves that. Boom. Is that what you do when you get to a hard part? Just flip the page and the hard part naturally goes away? Do you go to a study Bible? You go online and start to do research online? Well, if that's the first thing that you do, you're not tapping into the Spirit. Because what the Bible says is that you have something inside of you, a natural study Bible in there, a natural reference, a natural explainer, and he's inside of you. And I'm not saying we don't use reference Bibles, don't use study. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying your first place you have to go to is into the Spirit. Because that's his number one thing. You pray and you ask the Spirit to guide you. Again, we should be living in the Spirit like they were in Acts. This is not hocus pocus magic stuff like extremist fundamentalist stuff. This is stuff that anyone of us can have. That's why, like I was saying last week, I like when we talk about the Spirit. You know, in the King James, it doesn't call the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. It calls him the Holy Ghost, okay? I don't like the Holy Ghost, and I'm glad it's Holy Spirit, because ghost gives us, it maybe that's where we got this idea of the Holy Spirit is like this mysterious floating guy who just kind of walks around and wanders around or something like that. Holy Spirit is not Casper, like we said last week, okay? Holy Spirit is a spirit that's inside of you, and he's there, and he's a spirit of God that's inside of you, and when you have a question, you ask him, all right? And when you need help, you go in there, and that's the first place that you tap into. Believe me, I said in the beginning that we don't tap into the Holy Spirit. If there's one thing that we needed the Holy Spirit more for, okay? If there's one thing that I say, our generation needs the Holy Spirit to do more of, it isn't to help me find a better job. I need the Holy Spirit so I can get a promotion. It isn't that I need the Holy Spirit so that I can be healed of this sickness. It isn't that I need the Holy Spirit so that my life can be easier. I can find a boy or I can find a girl. What we need is the Holy Spirit to teach us what this is, okay? To teach us how to go deeper in this, because this has treasures inside of it. And unfortunately, we don't tap into it because we don't tap into the Spirit. And this is why the Spirit was sent to us. That's what we read in John chapter 6, where he said, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will take of what is mine, he will take of my word, and he will explain it to you, and he will declare it to you. Okay? Next thing that you may be thinking right now is, okay, I agree, Abuna Anthony. I don't tap into the Spirit enough. So what I need to do is I need to pray to get more of the Holy Spirit. Right? Is that what I need? Pray to get more of the Holy Spirit? No. False. Wrong. Unbiblical. Not true. No such thing as more of the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as more of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Again, Holy Spirit is one in essence with the Father and with the Son. Can I say that I need more of the Father in my life? Okay, I just have a little bit of the Father in my life. Can I divide the Father into pieces and say that I have like 10% of the Father, oh, he's got like 20%. Guess what we do with the Spirit, right? Is that, well, you know what, I don't have as much of the Spirit as so-and-so, so they can do this, they can that. I need the Spirit inside of me to increase. No, you can't divide the Father, you certainly can't divide the Son, and you can't divide the Spirit either. You can say that I have a little bit of the Spirit and you have a lot of the Spirit, and I have a little bit of the Son and you have a lot of the Son. Just like I can't say, can you divide any one of us? Can I say that 50% of you is here with us today? Just your leg walked into the church today, but your arm is still in the car. So I need to pray really hard that your arm comes and joins your leg inside this house. Can I say that? That doesn't make any sense. And that doesn't make any sense to say the same thing with the Spirit. Who are we to divide the Spirit of God? That's just our excuse. Okay? That's just our excuse for not tapping into the Spirit and being weak in the Spirit is we say, well, I just have a little bit of the Spirit. You don't have a little bit of the Spirit. Either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Either you've been anointed or you haven't been anointed. Either the Spirit of God abides in you or it doesn't abide in you. But there's no other way. A couple of verses from the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. Okay? God does not give the Spirit 50% to you, 35% to you. It doesn't work that way. And if you like get promoted like in the government, you eventually by the end of your life you have more and more of the Spirit. You may have learned how to tap into more of the Spirit, but for me to say that I don't have all the Spirit inside of me, that doesn't make sense because the Spirit cannot be divided. Another verse that shows the same thing. King David in Psalm 51, when we read every time we pray in the Egbe, when King David sinned, and he repented before God. What did he pray? He said, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Why would King David pray this? If the Spirit was done in measure and in degrees, okay, and he's assuming that I sin, so therefore I'm going to lose some of the Holy Spirit, he would say, don't take all your Holy Spirit and leave me some of it or something like that. But it doesn't. It's either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. Either he abides or he doesn't abide. Okay? No two options, no other way around it. Okay? Because again, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. A thing can be divided. I can take this piece of paper, cut it in half, give you half, give you half. Holy Spirit is not a thing. Holy Spirit is a person. And when a person walks into a building, either they're in the building or they're out of the building. Either they're abiding or they're not abiding. Okay? So what should I ask for? If I don't ask for more of the Holy Spirit, what should I ask for? There's lots of things you can ask for, and I mean, there's too many examples to mention. You ask that you can walk in the Spirit. You ask that you live by the Spirit. You ask that you can pray in the Spirit. The main thing that you're asking for is that the Spirit is a bigger part of your life, meaning that you have learned how to tap into the Spirit more. But for you to sit there every single night and beg and plead with God, please give me more of your Spirit. Please give me more of your Spirit. It's like, you got the Spirit. What are you asking for? This is like I've shared with you guys before when we say things like, please God be with me. Please God be with me. Please God be with me. If that's your prayer, what are you asking for? It's like begging me, please, Father Anthony, stand up in church and give a Bible study. Please, I beg you, I fast and I pray that you would stand up in church on Wednesday night and give a Bible study. I'm standing up in church and giving a Bible study. What are you asking for? That's done. You have the Spirit. You've been anointed. Don't ask for that. Ask that you can tap into that Spirit. Ask that Spirit would lead you, not you would lead it. Ask that, like I said, you would be able to walk in the Spirit all the hours of the day. Ask that you could live by the Spirit. And when you have learned to tap into that Spirit, now back to the verse that we read in 1 John, okay? 1 John chapter 2, that verse that we read, hopefully you have it still in your Bible. It said that you have no need that anyone will teach you. I want to focus on that right now. That's what that verse said, okay? It said, because the anointing which you have, which abides in you, you have no need that anyone teach you. How can this be? How can St. John say that you have no need that anyone teach you? What it sounds like he's doing is he's saying that you have no need for any human being to teach you anything. Is that true or not true? Because if that's true, the heck am I doing up here? I'm wasting my time up here. I'm wasting my time and wasting your time. Why does he say, it sounds like it, that he's saying that you have no need that any human being teach you anything because you have God inside you, you have the Spirit of God, so you don't need to listen to any human beings, you don't need any human teachers. Wait a minute. So you're saying we shouldn't have Bible studies? So you're saying we shouldn't have Sunday school classes where people are teaching? Shouldn't have priests to give sermons? Doesn't the Bible, in fact, doesn't God himself say that God appoints teachers and gives the gift of teaching to some, and he appoints some apostles, some prophets, and others teachers? Why is St. John talking about this right now? Is he lazy? Is that what St. John's doing? He's saying, leave me alone. Don't ask me to teach you. Go straight to God. And St. John himself, weren't the apostles themselves teachers? Isn't that why they got deacons? So they can keep themselves for the ministry and teaching the word? This is the part that, again, is going to be kind of abstract. And my guess is some won't get this. But that's okay. Those who get it will think it's really cool. Those of you who don't, sorry. I'll try to make a Casper joke later on to catch you guys up or something like that. In order to understand this, you have to understand that he's not saying, obviously he's not saying that we have no need of human teachers, okay? But to understand what it is that he's talking about, you have to understand the level of teaching that he's talking about. Let me explain, and then at the end you can ask questions if you don't get it. There's three levels of understanding. When you look at the word, like when the Bible talks about understanding something, or hearing something, or seeing something, okay? It talks about it on three levels. Body, mind, and spirit, okay? So there's three levels of understanding something. The first one is the easy one, is the physical one, is like your senses. So when the Bible says, or forget about the, you know, talk about the Bible right now, it'll talk about the other ones more. To say that at the physical level, I heard something, it means that my ear heard a sound. Okay, to say at the physical level, I saw something, means just physically, I saw, like, I just take it very, very literally, that I see or hear. But we know that there's more to seeing and hearing than just the physical level. Okay, because there's times that I see certain things, but I don't understand what I'm seeing. Or I hear certain things, and I don't understand what I'm hearing. For example, like a foreign language. Okay, so you see how it's possible at physical level to hear Spanish, but not B, mentally hear Spanish. You see what I'm saying? To see it, but not really see what it's saying. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay? So just the same way that there's that gap between level 1 and level 2, there's also another gap, which is level 3, which is a deeper level of understanding, which is on the spiritual level. And it's on this spiritual level that St. John is talking about. Let me give you guys an example. An example comes from Matthew chapter 13. Okay? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is a chapter in which our Lord Jesus Christ is giving many, many parables. All right? And his disciples ask him, why are you always talking in parables? And they didn't understand some of the stuff that he says. Look what he says in verse 13. He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Okay? You can see all three levels right here. That seeing, physically, they do not see, intellectually. And that hearing, physically, they do not hear, intellectually. Nor do they understand, spiritually. See what I'm talking about? There's levels. Okay? He's saying everyone here is seeing the parable that I'm doing with my hands, is hearing it. But they're not really seeing it, and they ain't really hearing it, and they certainly ain't understanding it. All right? So, actually, we'll read on there, and skip down to verse 16. It says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Do you think that when the Lord is talking here, he's talking about the physical sense? That many people have desired to see physically the stuff that you're looking at? I don't think so. Do you think he's talking about at a mental level? That they desire to hear and understand these principles at an intellectual level? I don't think he's talking about that either. I think he's talking about the third level. He's talking about many people have desired to behold and to grasp and to, like, the best way I think of it is to make it click, okay, what you are now beholding and hopefully grasping and making it click. When Christ was talking about these parables, all right, be clear about one thing. The disciples were just as confused as you are when you read them sometimes and as I am when I read them sometimes. And they were just as confused about a lot of the stuff, and they didn't really understand until something happened. Something happened to make them understand everything. What? Pentecost. Right? And the Bible says that in many places. They didn't get it. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit. And no one can get it without the Spirit. That's what St. John is talking about in that verse, that you have no need that anyone teach you. Right? And the Spirit will teach you, because the Spirit's the only one who can teach you. The Spirit's the only one who can make it click. These apostles and disciples, okay, they saw the same stuff that many other people saw. But when the Spirit came, it clicked. Okay? It made sense. It became real. It became something life-changing and life-altering. Because the Spirit is the only one who can do that for them. Why do you think it is, like I was saying earlier, that I can stand up here and I can give a sermon. I can give a Bible study. Why is it that Holy Week, okay, happened not too long ago, and some people, man, Holy Week was powerful, Holy Week was strong, Holy Week was repentance, and Holy Week was life-changing, Holy Week was this and this and this and that. Other people walk out and say, yeah, Holy Week was nice. Man, didn't you hear? Weren't you there? Like, didn't you see what I saw? Didn't you hear what I heard? What's the answer? Is they may have heard, but they didn't hear. And they may have seen, but they didn't see. Okay? What makes the difference? It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. That's the Spirit's job. That's what I'm trying to explain to you, is the Spirit's function in life is to allow me to see and to hear and to understand at this deep spiritual level. Okay? And he's saying at that level, that's where you have no need of human teachers. He's not saying don't have teachers. He's not saying don't listen to sermons. He's not saying don't go to Bible study. He's saying at that level, no one can teach you except the Spirit of God. So don't rely on men. Rely on the Spirit of God himself. Okay? Because only God can do that. And if you're waiting for me to do that for you, and you're waiting for some book to do that for you, and you're waiting for any human being to do that for you, you will be waiting for a long time because no one can make it click. Like I said, I will do my best to preach the sermon, but I can only take it so far. Some people can take it the next step because they've got Spirit and God inside them, and they've tapped into it. Some people can't because they haven't tapped into that Spirit. Another beautiful passage about the Spirit of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2. You want to hear a beautiful passage about the Spirit of God? You listen to what this says. And I encourage you, if you want to really get into the Spirit, read this whole section. I'm just going to read two or three verses. Okay, but read the whole section when you get home or whatever if you really want to understand this deeper. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Okay, he's talking about the great mysteries of God. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? Why did we receive the Spirit from God? Listen to this carefully and take it literally. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In the beginning I said we don't tap into the Holy Spirit enough. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do we know the plethora of things that have been freely given to us by God? If the answer is no, then we need to tap into that Spirit more. And the Spirit needs to become a bigger part of my life. I need to be more focused on that Spirit which is inside me. Because that Spirit knows all the things of God and is the only one who can reveal the deep and hidden mysteries. So again, am I saying don't listen to human beings? No. Am I saying don't go talk to your father of confession? No. Am I saying don't read books by teachers? No. But what I'm saying is keep on going. Okay? I can only do so much. Any human being can only do so much. They can give you words, but they can't give you that third level of understanding. In order to get that, you need to tap into the Spirit. That's why, like I said, it's good to do. It's great that you come to Bible study. It's great. But if this is the only time you read the Bible, and this is the only time that you're in the Word of God, you're never going to get it. Okay? You're never going to get it. Because the Spirit of God needs a one-on-one situation with you. You need to go to the Spirit to make this stuff real. Okay? To make the words that I say, and the words that are preached up here, and the words that you read, you need the Spirit of God to make it click, and to make it real, and to show you the depth of it. Okay? And that isn't going to happen here. Go talk to your father of confession. It's very important. But I hope you talk to God just as much as you talk to your father of confession. You hope you talk to God 10,000 times more than you talk to your father of confession. Okay? Not saying don't do that. I'm saying these you should have done without leaving the others undone. Great verse, Matthew 23:23. Okay? These you should have done without leaving the others undone. Another example. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Another example that our Lord gives us here. Matthew chapter 16, won't read it all. Our Lord Jesus Christ, starting in verse 13-ish, okay? It's a discussion he's having with his disciples. Who do men say that I am? Some Elijah, some John the Baptist. Okay, who do you say that I am? All right? Pick up the dialogue there in verse 15, okay? Says, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is what I'm talking about. Okay? This is that anointing. This is that Spirit. This is exactly what it is. This is that you have no need that anyone teach you. Who revealed to St. Peter that Christ was, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Who? Who revealed it to him? Didn't St. Peter see the same miracles that the other guys saw when they answered those other answers? Didn't he hear the same sermons that those other guys heard? Didn't they all see the same stuff? Didn't they see the same stuff? They probably thought the same stuff as well. But the difference is the Spirit told St. Peter something else. That's why he said, "Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. That's what I'm talking about when it says that you have no need that anyone teach you. That's why when we talk about bringing people to God, it's not about arguing, it's not about discussions, it's not about those foolish debates where you're not listening to me and I'm not listening to you. Those things are a waste of time because it's not an intellectual thing. If someone doesn't have the Spirit working inside them, if someone's not willing to listen to the Spirit, then it's a waste of time, okay? Because the Spirit's the only one who can make that stuff personal, that stuff relevant. As I'm saying this, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is this something that you can say, yes, I've experienced this before? I certainly know that I have. And I certainly know that there have been times that I've read verses that I've read 10,000 times in my life. There's certain things that I've read 10,000 times, and then sometime I read it and I'll be like, oh my goodness, as if it's the first time I've ever seen that verse. You know when that happened to me? Very recently, it happened to me last Sunday when those of you were here, we were talking about in the sermon on Sunday. I've given a sermon on that passage. It was coming from Luke chapter 6, okay? Probably 5 or 6 times in my life, okay? But for those of you here, I only concentrated on one little sentence. I had never seen that sentence before until last Saturday. I don't know where it came from. As if it was just written on Friday night in my Bible, as if someone just scribbled it in. I felt that day as if God had put that in there straight for me, and it spoke to me in a way that I had never experienced before in my life. What I'm asking you is, have you been there? Have you been there where you have been in your time of quiet? It's not going to happen here. Okay, it's not going to happen here. It's going to happen when you're... Have you been there, and you read a verse, and it's as if it's the first time you've ever read it. And it just jumps out at you. And all of a sudden, you see it on a new level. And God is speaking to you in a very personal, and a very relevant, and a very meaningful way. I hope that you have. If you haven't, you've got to get into that Spirit. Okay? You got to tap into that Spirit. Okay? That's why the Bible is never a dead book. That's why the Bible, no matter how many times you read it, always has significance. No matter how many times you've heard a sermon about this page, every single time it has new meaning, has new significance. Why? Because the Spirit is always speaking in a different way. Okay? This Spirit speaking to us and teaching us, okay? I'll ask the same question that someone asked last week in case some of you weren't here. This is only Christians or non-Christians as well? Only Christians or non-Christians as well? Yes and no. Both. Okay? The Spirit lives inside of us. Spirit does not live inside of non-Christians. However, the Spirit can still work in the life of non-Christians. Best example is Old Testament, New Testament. New Testament, Spirit lives inside of us. Old Testament, does the Spirit live inside the people? No. Does the Spirit work in people's lives? Absolutely. Yeah. God sent the Spirit upon Elijah, and Elijah prophesied. God sent His Spirit upon Moses, and Moses did miracles. God sent His Spirit upon the artisans, people, the builders, to build the ark, and to build the tabernacle, and build the temple. Okay? So, the Spirit of God is always working, but we have an advantage that it lives in us. Okay? Everyone else, it works. They can accept, they can reject, they can do this, they can do that. But it doesn't live within them. From them, it's outside in. From us, it's inside out kind of a thing. Okay? And you know when the Holy Spirit is working in the life of a non-believer, when, like, what I'm talking about there is, like, it can work in a multitude of ways. All of a sudden, your friend passes away, and all of a sudden, you have this feeling of, like, your own death is approaching, or your own mortality, and that causes you to get close to God, or something like that. That's the Spirit of God working. Or those near-death experiences, or a friend, whatever it may be, okay? Spirit of God can work in many, many, many different ways. And like we said last week, we're not here to say what the Spirit of God does not do, because the Spirit of God can do anything He wants, because He's God, and with God, nothing is impossible. We're here to speak about how the Spirit of God works inside of us. So don't let that trip you up, okay? So for us, Spirit's job is to teach us. Spirit's job is to explain to us the deep and hidden things of God. So now, let me ask you a question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in life? What's your treasure that you're hunting after? What is it that you are just chasing after and searching and going all over the place for? That's what you need the Spirit for. I hope the answer is something, okay? I hope the answer is not nothing, that you have more zeal in your spiritual life and more like, boom, you want to get to something. Well, that's something that you want to get to. You stay after the Spirit and you hound the Spirit until He speaks, until He makes it clear, because it's His job to teach us. Now, I couldn't end the Bible study without asking an important question. His job is to teach me. What's my job? Do I have a job? Or is my job just to be a passive kind of person, just kind of going through life? If His job is to teach me, let's go back to that verse that we've been looking at, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. The part that I'm going to focus on there is near the end. Well, we'll see what it says. It says, "You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you," that's His job, "concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." The Bible is stressing here, St. John is stressing, "just as it has taught you." Which, what's the opposite of "just as it has taught you"? The opposite of "just as it has taught you" is not just what it has taught others. Okay? And he's stressing the "what it has taught you" element of it. What I'm saying is it's a personal kind of a thing. Let me tell you this. Let's go to a story here in the Bible. Story is in John chapter 21, the end of the Gospel of St. John. Okay? Flip to John chapter 21. Let's go. Don't be lazy. Come on, we're almost done here. Flip them Bibles. John chapter 21. After the Lord has risen from the dead, He appears to His apostles and He appears to His disciples. He's speaking with St. Peter, and you know the famous dialogue that he has with him. And he says, "Feed my sheep." Okay, he says, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." He says it three times. Verse 20, okay, after this dialogue had taken place, "Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Verse 20, then Peter, turning around, actually we got it up here for the people, don't have it. Yeah. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Okay, do you catch what he's saying? Okay, he's saying, Peter, he kept saying, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Peter said, "Okay, no problem. But Lord," in verse 20, or in verse 21, "what about that man?" Pointing at St. John. "What about him?" Look what the answer was of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 22. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." That's exactly what that verse that we just read was telling us. Look, I asked you, what's your job in this whole thing? Okay, then I told you this story. Christ came to St. Peter, said, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, I want you to feed my sheep." St. Peter said, "Okay, that's cool. What's he going to do? What's your message for him?" What did Christ say? He said, "That's none of your business. I told you what you need to do." Okay? And what was his message for St. John? What he's referring to right here is he told all the disciples earlier about how they're going to be martyred, they're going to be killed, they're going to suffer. St. John wasn't going to suffer. St. John was going to live very, very many years and wasn't going to be killed. Okay? He was in exile, but he wasn't killed. So he's saying, "Look here, man. I'm telling you what it is for you. And I'm telling him what it is for him. You have nothing to do what any of that kinds of business is." So my job, back to the question that we just asked, okay, is very simple. It's to seek the message for me, end of story. Okay? To seek the personal message that God has for me. The Spirit of God's job is to teach you. Your job is to find and seek out and search out your message. No one else's message. Okay? No one else's message has anything else to do with you. What I'm saying here is that sometimes we like to rely on the message of others. All right? So you tell me, what did God teach you? Oh, okay, I should do the same thing. Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay, tell me, what else? You prayed today, you did your quiet time, tell me what God told you. Reveal it to me. Oh, okay, that's my message for today. It's not a piggyback game where you can piggyback someone else's message, okay? God's message for you is message for you, and it's very personal, and it's very unique, just as unique as your thumbprint. And if you are not getting it from God, and you're not getting your message from God, and you're trying to steal someone else's message, or copy someone else's message, or just kind of rely on someone else's message, you're missing out, because the message is different for everyone, all right? The message for St. John was not the message of St. Peter. Two different messages. And it's the same thing for you. There is no doubt in my mind that God has a special message for you. I'm not talking about a special message for your life, a plan, or when we talk about God's will for my life and my... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about tomorrow morning, He wants to give you a message. Tonight, okay? He has something He wants to tell you. And it's different than what He wants to tell me. And if you don't go and get it, it's never going to be gotten. And you can't steal it from someone else. I can't ask someone else, I can't ask you, what's God's message for me tonight? I can give you, okay, again, because I'm not saying don't listen to Father Confession, I'm not saying don't listen to your friends, I'm not saying all that kind of stuff. God speaks through those things, okay? But the Spirit has to be the one to stick it in there. Has to be the one who, like, makes it click, okay? And if you're not spending that time with the Spirit, believe me, you're always going to be a step behind, 2 steps behind, 10 steps behind. All right? So you got to seek out that message daily as much as you can. Believe me, there's a lot more stuff that God wants to reveal. And God has a lot of stuff He wants to tell us. And if you look again at the people who tapped in that Spirit, God was speaking to them not even hourly, minutely, secondly, He was speaking to them. And those, excuse me, I'll give you an example. Those who, most of the time, when we go on the trips to Africa and we take the mission trips, everyone says that when we're there, we feel God's presence. We hear God's voice speaking to us. We feel God guiding us. We feel God moving us. You think God only works in Africa? You think God doesn't like the States? Weather's not as nice over here as it is over there? If He stays over there on that side of the continent? No, I mean, first of all, if He's going to be anywhere, He'd be here. We got NBA, NFL, all kind of stuff. They don't have that over there. So, if He's going to be anywhere, He's anywhere, okay? So it's not that He has messages over there and then here you're supposed to be lost and just come to Bible study to hear the message for the week. And you come to church, you hear your sermon for the week. Here's my message for the week. And no, message for the week is a message for the day. It's a message for the minute. It's a message for the hour, okay? That's how God wants to tap into every single one of us. Like I said, it's great that you came to Bible study tonight, but I hope you never, ever, ever come to Bible study unless you have had your Bible time at home. I hope you never, ever, ever come to liturgy and stand up and pray unless you've had the time to pray at home. I hope you never, ever, ever go to your Father of Confession, ask for advice, unless you've sat with God first, okay, and hashed it out with Him as well. Because your path to abiding in Him is different than my path to abiding in Him. It's different than everyone else's path. So you need that personal seeking out time with God, okay? Hey, anyone got any questions? Yes, Janine. Okay. The question was, for those who didn't hear, is that sometimes I hear God's voice speaking very loudly and clearly. Sometimes I don't. Okay, sometimes I feel like I'm talking to myself, talking to a wall. Can't really answer that question specifically, okay, because it could be a multitude of different things. There is, of course, the one of the first thing that when that happens to me, I'll just speak personally, when it happens to me, first thing I do is I check my obedience level. Okay? Because if there's disobedience in my life, if there's sin in my life, boom, that's the number one blockade. If I got a message yesterday and didn't listen, boom, that's the number one blockade. I'm not saying that it's all the time, because there's times when God is silent where you're not being disobedient. At those times, God is actually speaking through His silence. And I won't explain to you what that means. That one, you got to figure out on your own way. Because sometimes God wants to be silent. And sometimes God wants to speak through that silence in a weird way. So I can't really say, but what I can do is my part, which is to check if there's any disobedience, if there's any, ignoring God's voice on this end, okay? And I know if I'm doing that, that even if God is silent today, He will speak tomorrow, or He'll speak at some point in time. The Old Testament, after Malachi, people were like, where's God? God isn't speaking. God isn't speaking. God isn't speaking. And then what happened? Oh, God spoke. God spoke, God walked, God talked, God came in the flesh. Okay, through His only begotten Son. So sometimes when God is silent, 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 he's setting you up for a big shout. So that's the best that I can do. Yes, Leah. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. For those of you who didn't hear, basically what Lee was saying is that the same way I was talking about that individual seeking, not relying on the Bible study, it's the flip side as well, if that's the side that you're on, which is don't rely just on that, but seek out the same level of understanding, level of hearing, and this way and God can speak. Absolutely. The two have to work together, okay? No such thing as corporate worship without individual worship, and no such thing as individual worship without corporate worship. Two have to be working together at all times. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for this beautiful message that you have given to us today, this reminder that you are not a God who is far away, but you are a God who has put your Holy Spirit inside of us. The very essence of who you are inside of us, to teach us and to guide us and to teach us that we can search out the deep things of God. We really pray, dear Lord, that we could make a renewed commitment to living in the Spirit, to walking in the Spirit, to being guided and led by the Spirit in every single thing that we do, not just when we make decisions about jobs and big decisions, but every single step of the way, that we can be guided by your Spirit. And when we open up your Word, or when we sit with our Father of Confession, or when we do anything, dear Lord, that we would truly be guided by your Spirit, and your Spirit would be talking to us. We read the book of Acts, dear Lord, and we're jealous of the way they were led by the Spirit. We're jealous of the Spirit-led life that they led, and we want that same thing. So each one of us tonight, dear Lord, is making a commitment to you to seek out that life and to seek out the message that you have for us and to seek out the depths and the jewels and the gems that you have prepared for each and every single one of us. I thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Couldn't ask for anything more that you could give to us, Lord. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. We pray, dear Lord, that you would remember everyone who is gathered here tonight. Remember our church, remember our Father, Boom Shoe, and Tisoni Rini. All those who ask us, remember them our prayers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, St. Peter, St. Paul, and all of your saints, hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.